WCCO Radio, 1924. WCCO Radio, 1964.
3, 2, 1, 0, liftoff. The MA-6 vehicle has lifted off.
And the Atlas flies into the air.
From crystal sets to transistors, from Model Ts to rockets, for the past 40 years, WCCO has served as good neighbor to the great Northwest. We have lived together, you as listeners, and we as a radio station for all those years. We've been together through drought and depression, through wars and crisis, through good times and bad. This is the story of 40 eventful years that WCCO Radio has served you. This is WCCO Radio, the first 40. What kind of radio do you like to hear? The answer is never the same.
Me, I like sports. Lots of sports.
A swing, and there's a pop-up. Vic Power in foul territory goes for the dugout. He's waiting. He has it. No hit, no run.
I want the news. Want to know what's going on. And the weather. That's important to me on radio.
WCCO Radio News. Vote yes, school committee appointed. This is Dick Ann Roth.
Well, I rather like the old tunes. The nice music.
Hey, Dad, I like my music cool. It's got to make it, you know, like it's got to turn me on.
A swing, and there's a pop-up. Vic Power in foul territory goes for the dugout. He's waiting.
WCCO Radio News. Vote yes, go committee.
Radio. That's the way it is. Everybody has a different notion of the way it ought to be, but that's what we do here at WCCO. Have done for 40 years and will do for 40 more and beyond that. Whether you're young or old, let's just say pleasantly middle-aged, whether you farm or work in a factory, at home or in your car, today's WCCO radio sound is designed to suit you. Entertainment.
Do you know the answer to this question?
The late William Joyce was known throughout the world by another name. What was it?
Now, if you can give us the right answer to that question,
you can win $33.20, maybe more, on Honest to Goodness.
Laughter.
Now, son, I'm sorry, but I don't think that a college kid should have a new car.
Ah, but, Dad, all the other college kids have one. Why can't I?
All the other kids have new cars? Why, last time I visited you on campus, I saw all kinds of old cars.
Yeah, but, Dad, those belong to the teachers.
Music. All kinds of music.
Darling. Darling. Endlessly.
That was Brooke Benton on the Howard Viken Show on a Wednesday morning. Beautiful day.
Music for the younger set. Music for your relaxation. And then there's the news.
This is Jim Borman. In the midst of the jubilation in the Humphrey camp, there is still a note of regret. Senator Humphrey, in his moment of apparent triumph, realizes that the other side of his victory coin means bitter defeat for his fellow senator from Minnesota, Eugene McCarthy.
Not only for the city, but for the farm.
This is Maynard Spieth.
And this is Jim Hill.
Reporting from the International Livestock Show and the 4-H Club Congress in Chicago.
Where thousands of 4-H'ers are gathered for this event.
For the sports fan.
The second down coming and 10 to go. Vikings from their own 40-yard line are wasting no time as they line up immediately.
And for the sportsman himself, WCCO on the go.
This is Dick Chapman, reporting from the CCO fishing opener at Alexandria, Minnesota.
Yes, that's the way WCCO Radio is today. On the go, on the move. geared to the era of the auto radio, the transistor in the boat, and a radio in every room of the house. That's modern radio. That's WCCO radio as you hear it, know it, and enjoy it today, this night, October 2nd, 1964, on WCCO Radio's 40th anniversary. The Soaring 60s. That was the phrase that was used as the 60s began. Remember 1960? It was a presidential election year. At the conventions, the Republicans named Richard Nixon and the Democrats selected John Kennedy. Here are the sounds you heard on WCCO radio.
Under the official procedures of this convention, it is not possible for me to give you an answer to your nomination until Friday night.
The nomination of the Honorable Richard M. Nixon be made unanimous. Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the chair declares, therefore, that Vice President Richard M. Nixon has been unanimously nominated to be the candidate of the Republican Party for the office of President of the United States.
When all the campaigning was done, when the election was over, it was John F. Kennedy who stepped forward and became President of the United States.
Remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness and sincerity is always subject to proof, let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
But his days in office were numbered. It happened on that fate-filled Friday afternoon, November 22nd, in Dallas, Texas.
President John Kennedy is dead in Dallas, Texas. He was shot by an assassin's bullet less than an hour ago, and now the official word is that he has died from those wounds that he suffered from the assassin's gun as he drove through the streets of Dallas. President Kennedy is dead. Our new president is the Vice President Lyndon Johnson.
It had happened before. A president of the United States suddenly taken from his countrymen. Older listeners in CCO land remember another year, another month, another president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
The drums are wrapped in black crepe and are muffled, as you can hear. And the pace of the musicians is so slow. And behind them, these are Navy boys. And now just coming past the treasury, I can see the horses drawing the caisson. And most generally, folks having this...
1945, the sudden, unexpected, tragic death of President Roosevelt. Between those two events, during the 19 intervening years, there were other historic sounds heard on WCCO. Some despairing, some hopeful, and some exuberant. There was the space race between Russia and the United States. Russia got there first with the Sputnik. And this is the way you heard it over WCCO radio. We worked feverishly to catch up, and a new set of words became part of our language. Astronaut, rocket, booster, countdown, and Cape Canaveral. The Soaring 60s, that's what they were called. One voice, a familiar voice on WCCO radio, saw the start of the 60s. It was a voice that will never be forgotten, so long as there are WCCO land listeners who can remember not only the voice, but the infectious laugh and the personality of Cedric Adams. He started on WCCO in the early 1930s, and the news voice of the Northwest was heard on WCCO radio for 25 years.
We can look forward to more snow in the Northwest in the hours ahead. Here in Minnesota, there's a heavy snow warning out for the northeastern and east central areas, with between 6 and 8 inches expected.
Perhaps you remember back in 1954, the night that Cedric Adams observed his 10th anniversary with his nighttime news sponsor, Tasty Bread. Former Governor Luther Youngdahl of Minnesota called to congratulate Cedric, and they discussed, of all things, how to pronounce limpa.
Hey, Governor, while I've got you on now, you're a good Scandinavian. Tell me how I'm doing on my pronunciation of Svensk limpa, will you?
Say, you know, Cedric, with your pronunciation of limpa, you prevent a lot of us from becoming psychopathic because it gives us a good laugh every time you say limpa. You seem to be getting a bigger kick out of it every time you say it.
Well, thank you very much,
yes,
Governor.
Sir. Okay, and congratulations.
I hope that when you have had 10 years back of you over there, I'll be able to call you up, too.
All right, sir.
Thank you very much for calling.
Good luck to you.
The year of Minnesota's statehood centennial. And there were parades and queen contests and celebrations everywhere. The men wore beards and the ladies dressed in the long gowns of 100 years ago. WCCO Radio responded with a year-long series entitled Minnesota Milestones, a series that covered every phase of Minnesota history, transportation, agriculture, medicine, labor, and business, and many more. One of the series involved the history of education and the arts, and here is Cedric Adams as he sounded in 1958, describing the one-room country schoolhouse the way it used to be.
But this was still the era of the country school, the little white one-room crossroads school. And even today, there are millions of us who can look back and remember the little white schoolhouse at the crossroads. We can still remember walking down the dusty dirt road with the green spring-seeded shoots just coming through the earth and the brown fields on the other side. And there it is now. Do you hear it? It's the school bell. And the schoolroom, I'll bet you can see that too, with the high ceiling and the tall, narrow windows and the chocolate brown woodwork. Yes, and the blackboard up front. The teacher's desk just ahead of it on the raised platform, which was always used as a stage for the Christmas pageant. On one side, the piano with a stack of books on top, the old golden book of favorite songs, and the desks with hearts and initials carved on top, and the inkwells. The inkwells were used in those days, too. And the drowsy hum of study, and the class reciting up front, and the crisp voice of the teacher cutting through the reverie.
Fifth grade arithmetic. Class, rise. Stand. Pass.
And you'd march up to the front of the room, quaking, fearing the gimlet eye would stab through and learn all too soon that you hadn't prepared your lesson. And those were the days of corporal punishment. And the weapon, will you ever forget it? The 18-inch hardwood ruler. Do you remember the tense silence that settled over the room, broken only by the teacher's angry voice?
Johnny? Johnny, I'm speaking to you. You come here. Did you dip Mary's braid in the inkwell?
Well, I...
Thought you were smart, didn't you? Didn't you?
No.
I'll make you smart.
I won't do it again.
I'll say you won't do it again. Now you go stand in the cloakroom until I tell you to come back.
Wow, I can feel the sting of that ruler yet.
You heard many names, many voices on WCCO in the 50s. Remember the names? Not only Cedric Adams, but also Bob DeHaven, Stu McPherson, Ed Beeman, Frank Butler, Gordon Eaton, and Rolf Hertzgard. Here's a scene from a program you heard on WCCO in the 1950s. Stu McPherson and his guests in Let's Get Together.
All right. Moaning Mose is now looking and grumbling about, is there anything the matter, Mr. Beeman?
No, I always...
Except that you didn't put yours on.
Yeah.
All right.
This is... Sorry. You got any more of them little gems?
You could use it. Mrs. L. Street, 1442 Payne Avenue, St. Paul, says, this is no laughing matter.
The amusement tax.
This is no laughing matter.
Is this a real object?
Well, it all depends. Yes, it is. It's real.
Is this an affliction?
Some people think it is, but it's not.
Well, I mean like a crazy bone or something.
No, 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 it's not. It.
Can you buy this in a store?
You don't buy this.
Do you acquire it?
You don't acquire it.
Then how do you get it?
It was in the 1950s also that a princess, traveling in Africa, received word that her father, the king, had died. She hastened back to England, and in this impressive Westminster Abbey ceremony, she became Queen Elizabeth II.
The Archbishop takes it from the crimson cushion. He raises it high in the sight of the people and reverently places it on the Queen's head. Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, is crowned.
And in the United States, our president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was felled by a heart attack while on a vacation trip to Denver. We all waited anxiously, and then, happily, fortunately, there came the sunny day that the president and Mrs. Eisenhower returned to Washington. A nation's fears were quieted when the president spoke at National Airport.
My very dear friends, I am deeply honored that so many of you should come down to welcome Mrs. Eisenhower and I back to Washington. It's been a little longer stay than we had planned, but the circumstances you will understand. I am happy the doctors have given me at least a parole, if not a pardon, and I expect to be back at my accustomed duties, although they say I must ease my way into them and not bulldoze my way into them.
And here in the Northwest, there was another happy occasion, the end of the Korean War. The signing of the truce at Panmunjom, and our boys came home. Here is a scene at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, one you may have forgotten.
Well, it's nice to be home, no doubt.
Yes, it's a good feeling back here. It's a big reception I got here, huh?
Yes, it's a tremendous reception. Was that your sister and your mother and dad?
That's right.
Well, tell me, Vernon, where were you captured?
I was captured about 5 miles outside of Unsan.
And when?
On the 26th of November.
1950. That's been a long time, then.
You bet.
Pretty rugged?
It wasn't too bad.
What about the progressives that we've been reading about, unfortunately? Were you trouble with any of those?
I don't know. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that.
Always, it seemed, there was the inevitable mixture of gaiety and laughter on the one hand and sadness and sorrow on the other. On the lighter side, there were the WCCO Radio Aquatennial and Winter Carnival shows of the late 40s and early 50s. The stars included a who's who of show business. Arthur Godfrey, Bob Hope.
Say, Hotshot, tell me, what is a botanist?
I don't know. What is a botanist?
A botanist is somebody who sews on buttons. Boy, am I clickering. Is that my loose upper plate?
You know, you remind me of the Green Hornet.